Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Whoa. Okay.
That's so cool.
Wait, that's so fun. Okay, cool.
Wow, we just got ourselves a little cross-sponsorship, cross-promotion. Yeah.
Okay, well, we have to get into it. Welcome to Basic Training, a podcast for people that need help.
Yeah, we got a Zoom. We got a Zoom today. Zoom
oh, wait, through. We have to get that on the call with the producer.
Oh, shit. All right, get her on.
Are you still seeing Mr. Staten Island?
Yeah, we made it a fish.
Ah!
What?
Welcome to Basic Training, a podcast where one of the hosts has a boyfriend.
And where one of the hosts is single and we switch places. Because when we started this podcast, you were like...
We're already recording. Hi.
What was that? Hi.
This is really a chaotic episode because we only have... We're on a time limit. And so we're jumping in.
We just have a heart out in 50 minutes. What was I saying?
You have a boyfriend.
Shit, that sounds so disgusting.
No, it doesn't.
I'm
oh my
already
God.
Bored.
You don't have a boyfriend. Or no, you don't. It's not disgusting that you have a boyfriend. You have a boyfriend and it's good.
I'm bored with the title.
Oh,
but
okay.
I absolutely
what do you
adore
want to call him? Your
him.
Significant other?
Yeah, he's my lover.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
I'm he's not my, a, he's my little. My
he's
little,
your SO?
Yeah, my little sweetie pie. Are you shocked at this?
No, not at all.
Really?
No. I saw you guys together. We talked about this last episode. I saw you guys together and I was like, that's Talia's type and their vibe is good. And then when you said that you were hanging out, I was like, that makes sense. And I got a good vibe from him. I was like, he seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, it's just very new for me. I'm talking about the lovey-doveyness of it all, the title.
I mean, it's
situation.
Yeah.
It moved a little fast. Like, it was like a little, we've known each other for a long time. Like,
in the
friends,
words of Lana Del Rey in the song Margaret, when you know, you know.
Yeah, I kind of did know.
When you...
It's been wonderful, and I'm so thrilled with it. What?
How often are you guys hanging out?
We don't stop hanging out.
Yeah, see,
kind of moving a little fast. Like, in the sense that it's a short amount of time, but we have spent every day together almost, so it's like...
Yeah, that happens.
We're just in that phase, and you know what? What comes of it comes of it. Like, I just... I'm having fun.
No, I think that's really good.
Yeah, I'm having a nice time. It's very healthy and...
You deserve that.
Yeah, it's really like keeping me sane, and it's a lovely thing that makes my days a little happier.
Good. Yeah.
Everyone gives me okay. Talia's a little worked up, and I love it. I ever since this happened, like I've ever since I started seeing somebody and like kind of floated it to my friends that I'm like, okay, I've been seeing somebody. Everybody gives me the same look because they know who I am, and they say, oh, I'm so happy for you. And it's like, I know that's because I'm always the single girl and everyone's
no,
like,
no, it's not
I'm
that.
So happy
no,
for
sorry.
You.
I understand.
You deserve this.
I know that that is a perfect impression of what I just did. Like you are correct, but that's not the intention. It's more like I can tell that you are happy.
Yeah.
So it's just like, there's nothing to do other than be like a little saccharine and be like,
you're
really
right.
Happy.
You're
know
right.
What I mean?
You're right. You're right.
It really has nothing to, cause like, quite frankly, it's like, I don't know, like people who are always in a relationship are always kind of like, okay, congrats on your new boyfriend. You had one before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like when someone who like is a little bit more discerning picks someone, it's like, oh, I'm really happy for you. This seems like legit.
Thank you. I am you know? Quite picky. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I just, what was I going to say? I'm having a good time with it.
Good.
And I forgot. Whatever. I'm happy. It's fine.
No, good.
So I was like, no, I keep forgetting what I was going to say. You go.
I don't have that much to say. Like, I feel like my life is a little boring right now. Like, I don't have... like.
We need to get some guests in here.
It's also, like, it's holidays.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, the world is kind of, like, stopped unless it's about holidays.
No,
it
like,
feels a little
all,
bit...
That's what I'm saying is I want to update you on stuff. All I do is, like, sit at home, edit, do my work, and hang out with this guy.
Yeah, that's...
That's it.
But that's nice.
It's
I feel
a
like
cozy.
I'm, like, what's... And, like, with me, it's, like... I don't know, like, yeah, like doing work stuff and then like figuring out what I'm doing for the holidays. booking my Amtrak to go back to Rhode Island for Christmas, $350. I'm like, I need.
Why is that so expensive?
It's because the holidays, and I'm bad about booking ahead of time. Like, yeah. I need to get better about. I'm so bad about. Like, it's like I know I'm going to Rhode Island for Christmas. Right. I could have booked this ticket. I legitimately could have booked this ticket in September instead. I've elected to book it in early December, and like, it is my fault.
Yeah.
But I'll never do the other way around.
I'm a little stressed out. So it's my 25th birthday in 2 weeks.
I know.
Thank you. And I don't want to do anything. Like, every year I cry because I'm disappointed with the amount of work that I put in, even though it's never that much. But like,
I mean, it's just the Christmas Eve birthday is so brutal.
It's just brutal. Like, there's nothing that I can do. And depressing.
For the listener, like, I have so many Christmas birthdays in my life.
Yeah.
Like, one of my best friends and my mom two of my best friends are right around Christmas. One is my mom. And then my mom, right. My grandma, they're all Christmas birthdays.
So you're familiar with, like, it's the shittiest birthday. And I have not had a party since I was like, I don't even know when. Like, I just don't, yeah. I don't do that.
My aunt makes a case of this, and I actually think she's low key right. She's like, She argues she has the worst day to have a birthday in the year.
What is it?
January 2nd.
Why?
Because it's like the day after. It's like the finish line of all the holiday stuff.
Yeah.
It's like no one wants to do a goddamn thing. Like,
I get it.
The idea. She's like, I pitch like doing anything on January 2nd. And people are like, you're joking. Like,
yeah.
We just did New Year's Eve into New Year's Day. It's over.
Yeah, it's
you're
done.
Not seeing me for a week. Like, yeah. Her birthday is. But Christmas
Eve
sucks.
But then she can put it off by a week.
Yeah.
If I put my birthday off by a week,
it's New Year's.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's ass.
Like, it just, there's not like, and then, okay, so my friends and I have another friend who's born the 22nd, and we're thinking of going to Las Vegas in January because I've never been to Las Vegas. And
I know in my soul, you will love Las Vegas.
I will also,
it's actually,
I
like,
know that I will
the most Talia place I can think of.
Well, I went when I was, my parents are really into like cheap, stupid vacations. We went to Las Vegas.
LA to Las Vegas is like nothing.
Yeah, but when you have a 13-year-old daughter, what was I doing? Like, we went to see the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil, and that's it. Like, it was actually terrible. Like, there's nothing that I could do. They're not into gambling.
Right.
We went to a buffet, we went to a show, and we walked around the strip, which on Christmas, when you're realizing that everybody here is like not with their families, but is instead working at 2 o'clock in the morning on the Las Vegas Strip.
Yeah, that's actually really
harrowing. Like deeply depressing.
Yeah, no, that's
sad.
Not when I would go.
When you're not 21 in Las Vegas or you're with your parents, it's just not fun. But I did enjoy the over the top aspect. Like I could enjoy, like, I knew that I was there and I knew that I would like it if I were older. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I would
like
do it
back.
Different. There are aspects of it that I would do differently if I were to go again. Because I went for my best friend David's 30th. We all went and we saw the Lady Gaga Enigma show.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was like,
fun.
It was like a big trip. It was so fun. Me and my friend Holly, we say, and I mean this with like, have we talked about this on the podcast? Like, I mean this with literally every cell in my body. One of my biggest regrets in my life is that I didn't go to Vegas and see Celine Dion before. Like, she was unable to perform anymore.
Why do you say it's one of the biggest regrets?
Because, like,
I didn't realize you were such a fan.
It's not even, I can't even explain it because, like, she's not like that big for me,
right.
But it's like she was such an iconic performer. That show was running for my entire 20s.
Right.
Like, it was so available for me to go. Like, going to Las Vegas is not that expensive.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think it's a very prime example of like, we thought we had more time. Like, just
right.
One day she was like, I have this horrific illness and will never perform again. And it's like, which is just so sad.
Yeah.
And it came so out of left field that it's like, oh, I didn't realize that there was like, I thought Celine Dion was going to be around for another, like performing for another 20 years, you know?
Right.
But like, and like seeing her perform, like, I don't know.
That's how I feel about fucking Bruce Willis.
I have a story to tell you off mic.
I look at him now and I'm like, wow, I never could have imagined I would not get the chance. But he's just too old. He's very sick. It's awful.
Wait, we have to bleep.
That was a joke. Sorry. Go ahead.
We have to bleep this. Editors, we have to bleep this.
What?
But guess who came up for me on Raya today?
Who? Wait, do you get shown people?
No, like in my swipes, he is set to be shown men. Came up as a potential match for me.
On Raya?
On Raya.
That's like not a secret. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like on Grindr, it would be sort of like, okay, keep this DL.
Or yeah, like headless. No, it was dead ass on like, and so it's also like it's definitely him linked to his Instagram on Raya. I was like,
I'm in shock and awe.
Isn't it good tea? Like, I was like,
oh my God.
I've never
God.
Wanted to take a screenshot on Raya more. I've never wanted to do it more.
You should have had somebody else take it.
I was in the gym locker room.
I think like, you I was only get one strike if you take a screenshot.
I accidentally took a screenshot. Do you know how many? Like, I don't know. It must be how I hold my phone. I have thousands. I mean, I'm a screenshot guy. I take so many screenshots on my phone. I would say there's at least 1,000 screenshots on my phone that are just like my home screen. I accidentally take screenshots 15 times a day.
Same.
And one time I did that with Raya. And so my one strike is gone. But isn't
you know
that
why I got kicked off Raya?
John Mayer.
Yeah.
It
sucks. Well, I'm happy to not be on Raya anymore, but there's strict rules.
I know.
They kicked me off within like an hour.
It's crazy. They don't mess around.
Yeah.
They don't mess around.
Yeah.
That's why we need to bleep this because I don't want to get kicked off.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that like, I was
guys,
like,
this is somebody who has never has, is there even like a blind item about him being gay?
Well, I don't, it's like, I know so much about his narrative in the world, but like nothing about his personal life. Like I've never paid that much attention.
Married to a woman.
Divorced. Because I texted the biggest fan that I know.
Okay.
And she was freaking out and she was like, he is divorced. So.
Wow.
Which I'm like, all right, go explore.
Yeah, of course. But like, it's just, guys, it's somebody that you would never suspect would be exploring with men. Like there's not even a rumor of that. It's not even like, there's not a hint of that in the.
Yeah.
In the zeitgeist. Like it has not been spoken about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
I think you should do it.
I swipe no.
Why?
I don't need that in my life. That is
yes,
not
you
a,
do.
No, I don't.
Yes,
no, I don't.
You do.
No, I don't.
Would you ever date someone really, really famous?
Yes.
Like Michael Jackson type famous?
Like, yeah, like, I mean, like, who's, like Harry Styles, like, someone that level of famous?
Well, okay, Michael Jackson's a bad example, because, like, that's kind of a different level.
Doesn't exist anymore, also, like, that level
right,
of fame.
Right, that level of fame. I, like, look, like, Taylor Swift being, like, the most important person on Earth right now. Like, would you ever date somebody who is, like, it is going to define your life, like, objectively?
Yeah, because I think I'm very drawn to, like, those experiences that, like, very few people in the world get to have that I would want to experience it, and if it's bad, you leave. I guess
okay,
is my
but here's
thought.
The problem with that.
I understand
you
that
can't just leave.
I know. I do think, I thought about this a lot. Like, this is a thing I've thought about if I ever became, like, really famous.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this when it came out that Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner were dating.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if I was ever super famous, I would 100% like call up other really famous people I know and be like, do you want to just say we're dating for a week and see what happens? Like, I think that would be so fun.
It would be fun.
Like, I think it'd
would
be
just,
so funny.
But now everything's so political and everything is so, I just feel like it would matter more now. Like, everybody knows everybody's, like, history and blah,
yeah,
blah.
I don't know. I just think it'd be really funny. Like, I just think it'd be really funny to troll that, like, aspect of the world.
Right, of
like,
course.
If I became, like, a really famous comedian and then just, like, like, had, like, me and Dua Lipa meet up somewhere in public and make out. And everyone being like, are Jake Cornell and Dua Lipa, like, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
Just, like, really fuck with it, I think would be very fun.
No, it is.
It also would be the
fun.
Most genius. It would be the most genius blanket of. It'd be the most genius blanket of, like, if you're making a public joke of the idea of people paying attention to your dating, it kind of creates a shield against your actual dating life. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I think that's kind of smart, actually.
Yeah.
I'm just like saying now because what were you?
Oh, I was going to say, I always think it was really smart when Daniel Radcliffe did his first Broadway play. He was like still in like the height of paparazzi era. So he wore the same outfit in and out of the theater every day. So the photographer.
Like Princess Diana.
Sure.
Or Lana Del Rey.
Does Lana Del Rey do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think it's smart.
Princess Diana would do that every time and then walk backwards too.
Oh, the video of her walking backwards is so iconic.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, but that's really smart strategy.
Yeah, I know.
Have you seen Paris Hilton's reflective scarf?
She yeah,
has a scarf
oh, yes, yes, yes.
You can't
yes.
take a photo.
Sorry,
of
when you said that officially, I thought you meant like a scarf she wears when she's feeling reflective. And I was like, no. Yeah, the one that like blows out the lens.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's genius.
No, it's the one that she wears when she wants to really think about her life and like.
When she wants to talk in her deep voice.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it.
I love.
Paris I would
Hilton.
Love to adopt your strategy. But I feel like now, like, look what happened when Taylor Swift dated Matty Healy. Like, for all we know, that could just be like,
totally.
they hooked up a couple times for
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, but it's over now. But it's not affecting her life now.
I know, but it did for a while. Like, it was like, it's like a stain, sort of. Not that she can really, everything is going to be fine. with her, but like, do you ever?
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't do it with someone
political. People would like.
Right, but I wouldn't do it with someone like Maddie Healy, who's very controversial. Right, I would do it with someone where I'd be like really silly.
Are you aware of the Dumas beef right now?
Oh, with T-Pain? Yeah. Of course I am.
What do you think about it?
I mean, the thing about, sorry, I just got sunscreen in my eye, which means I'm going to be rubbing my eye the rest of this episode.
That's nice that you wear your sunscreen in the snow.
Yeah, I'm trying to be good about it. And I need to re-up. Yeah.
Good job.
Skincare, 25. It's coming for you.
Stop. Stop.
I think that it's fun. Like, I just think, like, so many people have such a, like, intense vested interest in knowing the truth behind Taylor Swift's personal life.
Yeah.
And, like, the truth of the matter is, like, we will never know. And so, like, you can't care that much. Right. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, I don't care on that side of it. I think that, like, the way that Dumas gets to exist as, like, this journalist when they want to be a journalist and a gossip person when they want to be a gossip person. And so they don't have to follow the rules of journalism when it doesn't behoove what they want to do online. Mm-hmm. But then they get to, like, kind of act like a journalist when they feel like they have something to, they have, like, tea that they can prove. Do you know what I mean? It's like they exist in this interesting gray area. And I think T-Pain going for her is interesting. It's also interesting, funny.
There has to be some sort of long-term reason behind going for her. Like, I think it was so ridiculous that she picked that battle. I think that, and I'm going to refer to T-Pain as Taylor because Taylor acts through her. She would not do anything without Taylor's approval or guidance.
Right, right, right.
So I just think that Taylor has picked so many good battles in her career and ones that have furthered her career, worthwhile battles. This one is like one that I feel is like almost a little delegitimizing. I'm like, really? Like, well, this is like a podcast, battle you want to pick?
Who Weekly brought it up, framed it in an interesting way, I thought, which is like behind the scenes, I'm sure every publicist in LA and a lot of people in the entertainment industry fucking hate Dumas. And like, there's a lot of shit she's probably posted that like has really upset people and pissed people off. And someone was like, can Taylor go for her? Because like, she's the only one that can.
Right.
A little bit.
I just don't know why she's like, really, of all people, I just feel like Dumas, there's a reason I don't follow Dumas as closely as I like, I'll listen to podcasts about like anti-lawyers blinds or something. Like, I find Dumas stuff to be like, you know, it's not that revealing to me. I don't feel that it's that salacious. Like, I don't know why she's the one, but I don't, exactly what you said about, I forgot what you just said, but you worded it very perfectly about like, you have to, you have to be okay with the fact that you're not going to know everything about Taylor Swift's life. That's true. And also, I think Taylor Swift has to be okay with the fact that when you're going to be this legendary and famous, people are going to speculate about your life. It doesn't matter how many like gossip blogs you individually take down.
I think she is okay with people speculating about her personal life.
It's like, I don't know why the thing that pissed her off was like a marriage rumor. Like, really?
Was the fake marriage thing?
Yeah. I think Dumas has said some kind of more fucked up shit regarding like a miscarriage or something, allegedly. I don't know. I think that's pretty fucked up and that can cause, quote, pain and trauma. But like to make this whole stink about this when it's like Dumas is alleging that she had like a little ceremony with her boyfriend of six fucking years.
I think it probably is that they have probably fucking hated her for a long time.
Yeah.
They've hated Dumas, Melissa, whatever her name is. And
I don't
like
know what her name is.
It's like Melissa something.
I never cared to find out who she really was.
See, that is interesting to me. I was interested to find out. There was also
she's always been nice to me.
There was like a really fun period of time where everyone thought they figured out who Dumas. Wait, you've been on Dumas?
No, she sent me a sweatshirt and a nice little note.
Oh, that's nice.
See, it doesn't matter what she says to everybody else. She's nice to me. So
you really got bought by a sweatshirt. Okay, wait, we should get into calls because we only have 35 minutes.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know what's, I hope she's okay. I don't know what she did wrong. I don't care to know.
Wait, Zina, can you text the link to the Google Doc? Is it in the email? Sorry.
No, it's fine.
It's in the chat for the call.
I don't care to know what she did that wrong. But I pity anybody who is going up against Taylor Swift.
That's the thing.
It's just very like even when like an influencer misspeaks and like says a little something about Taylor and the fans cut, it's just being on the wrong side of the Swiftie fandom is not fun.
Oh, it's like we got it. Talia fixed it.
I empathize with anybody going after a big fandom like that. I think that is really hard.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm scared for her. I hope she'll be okay. I just feel like...
Well, that's the thing that sucks is, like, when fandoms, like, destroy people.
Yeah.
Because then you become viewed as toxic because your fans are toxic. And I think that is tough.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to alienate your fans, but you also would be like, hey, like, don't, like, maim someone in my name.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Okay, let's do the first call. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Coming.
Hi guys, love the podcast. I'm an international caller and I'm so happy that you think so that we could call too. I'm from Sweden, if I have a little accent, but basically my question is, because you guys talk about Hinge dates a lot and I really want to start going on dates, but I'm terrified of like awkwardness and like just imagining like sitting for 10 minutes waiting for him to show up and then like having to hug, or what if he's like a little shorter in person or a little uglier? Like, how do I tackle that? Because I hate awkwardness and I can't imagine anything worse, but I still want to do it. And then I'm also thinking about, like, I guess I'm a little insecure because I think I'm pretty and my, like, I think my Hinge pictures are pretty too. But should I, like, try having uglier pictures so that the guys will always think I'm the opposite of a catfish? Like, so that they will be positively surprised? How do I go about that? Like, feeling insecure on first dates too? Yeah, I would just love to hear your thoughts on this in general. Again, love the pod. Yay.
Okay, our first
that
Swedish
is
call.
So
I love her.
Funny.
I love her. Also, ooh, these international calls, the audio quality is crisp.
Crisp.
That sounded so clean. Okay.
Okay.
I mean,
that is so
funny. Do you want to start or do you want me?
You can start.
It's with for the awkwardness part, it's like, unfortunately, it's just exposure therapy.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no way around
there's
it.
You, it's just going to happen. And like you said, you can't imagine anything worse. You're going to be fine. It's not going to kill you.
You can imagine worse things.
Like, people used to have to go to bars and wait for people with no cell phones just sitting there.
Yeah.
That used to happen all the time, because whenever you met up with the people on a date, someone's going to show up first. You know what
right.
I mean?
They have like, to bring a book.
It's going to be fine.
It's insane.
It's going to be, you're going to be a little stressed. You're going to be a little nervous. That's part of the fun. That's literally part of the fun.
The best thing ever is when you finally get past that point where you're nervous to go on dates. For some people, it doesn't happen. For me personally, it took a little while, but I finally just was like, I'd had enough good ones and shitty ones that I was like, it's just a fun thing for me to do. And if it's bad, like, you just develop a certain
100%.
Confidence. Going on a date when you're not paralyzingly nervous is so fucking fun. You feel like you're in Sex and the City. You feel like you're a young totally. Girl walking down the street. Like, you're gonna go just meet a guy and like you're a man eater and it just doesn't even matter. Like, you're totally in control. You only get there by like just date. Like, you're just gonna have
yeah.
to. It's just, think of it as like you're just going to lunch with a friend. Like, I know you can't. It's a lot easier said
like,
than done.
It's
but
just, there's no way around it. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
You like, have to like book a bunch. And maybe reverse of, you know, I know you have this little strategy of having the less attractive photos of you, which is so me. I love you. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Instead, if you want a little practice, flip it around. Swipe yes on a couple guys who you know you wouldn't marry. Just find a couple guys who you're like, okay. I'm not saying pick disgusting guys who you'd be like creeped out with to go on a date. No, find some guys who seem fun, social, but maybe like their looks don't intimidate you. The first date that you go on from Hinge shouldn't be with a guy who you're like, this is the hottest guy I've ever seen. Like sometimes every 100 swipes you come across a guy who's like, oh, I'd be nervous. I'd be fucking nervous. Don't make it the first one or two with that guy. Find a guy who's like approachable, you know?
Off topic, but I was recently told the most flattering thing in the world.
Please.
Someone who I know who like I wouldn't date just because we're like platonically friends was like, I want you to know that Hinge offered you up to me as one of your my like rose only offers on Hinge. And I was like, that's the most flattering thing anyone's ever said to me.
Good for you.
Right?
Ugh, I miss Hinge. Fuck.
Oh my God, you had a boyfriend for 2 seconds.
I don't miss like men on Hinge. Like I miss like the fun of online shopping for men.
Totally. Did we answer? Yeah, you just need to go on more dates and feel awkward and it's going to become less awkward and you're going to be fine. We promise you you're going to be okay.
It's just exposure therapy.
And this is not, and maybe not kosher based, but like have a shot before you leave the house, you know?
Just one. Yeah.
I don't think it's the worst thing. It doesn't hurt.
Where, it really helps actually. It's like a placebo.
Yeah. Okay. Next call. Here we go. It's loading. Oh shit.
Hey, Colly and Jake. I just want to preface this by saying I really like your podcast and I think you guys give out really valuable advice. So
that's really nice.
I'm a senior in high school right now and there's this guy and I'm telling you at this point in time, I am positive that he is my soulmate. Like we could go ahead and get, he doesn't know me very well, but we could go ahead and get married right now. And I'm telling you, it would work out. There's just too many coincidences between me and this guy. Sometimes we wear the same thing. We're into the same things. We say the same things. It's just, it's so all of the sudden, like it's meant to be, almost like the universe is sending me messages that I can't ignore. And beyond that, I really like this guy. I genuinely think he's a good person and I would really want to get to know him. And I honestly think, and this is not something I would say for most people, I think he would really like me if he got to know me.
I'm gonna cry.
Now, the thing is, I am not positive that he's into me. You know, I have a hunch, but that could just be me being overconfident. So this is kind of a loaded question. First of all, how do you get a sense that someone's into you? Like, how do you pick up on that vibe without kind of being vulnerable and laying out, like, all your cards on the table? Like, I like you. Do you like me? Secondly, once you have that reassurance, maybe you know that person's into you, how would you go further? How would you further initiate something? And that leads me into my last little, not a question, but do you think that starting off a relationship like that, like if I were to make the first move, do you think that would be like starting something off on the wrong foot? That's getting way ahead of myself, but, and I know we're living in the 21st century, but there's a difference between relationships where things are initiated by the woman completely and relationships where the man takes the reins. So I just want to get your take on that. Regardless, thank you for your advice. Any word you have on this, I'll appreciate. And yeah, thanks for the help.
Defend her at all costs.
I need to hug you. I need to hug you.
Oh my God.
You're my daughter. You're my child.
I'm okay. You are the sweetest angel in the world. And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Okay. I want to answer the questions that she asked, not the one I want to answer.
Great.
The first question was, how do you gauge if someone's into you without making yourself too vulnerable?
Yeah.
Do you have good advice on that for a high schooler?
I want to make sure I want to make sure this is true before I say it. I think looking back on all of my various situationships, dating, whatevers, there's never once actually been a time where I truly thought someone was into me and they weren't, or someone wasn't into, like, I've always known.
Mm-hmm.
If I've really been into someone and been really hopeful that they were going to be into me and they weren't, I knew that before I asked. Like, you know.
Yeah. I think if you're really being honest with yourself, you know, but it's important to consider that in this situation,
it's hard
they
to know
don't
it's
know
first
each
time.
Other.
Yeah.
But that leads me to the thing I want to say, but I don't really want to.
Which I actually don't know what that is.
She didn't ask if this is a good idea to be calling him a soulmate, or like whether or not her hunches about him are true. But I want to tell her that there's boys in high school, one or two, that I felt this way about, because I was really boy crazy and like really very romantic, or I don't know, I was sensitive soul, like you seem like you are. I've run into those guys since. They are losers to the highest degree. And also, it's just like you don't know this young. You know what I mean? I'm worried about the soulmate label being given at this time, because it sets you up to believe that you have suffered a great loss at the beginning of your adult life.
Yes. Can I offer adjustments on that?
Yes.
So I think don't view soulmate, like, I don't think you should view this person as like the only person you could ever love in your life.
Yeah.
But like, do you remember, I thought you said something really profound like several episodes ago. This is actually really early when we recorded the podcast, where you were talking about how you don't like when people like belittle someone saying that someone was the love of their life, or that they love someone when they were really
absolutely
young.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like, we're not belittling your feelings for this person, but like, and you can honor the whole scope of how much you feel for this person, but like, you don't think of him as like, if it's not with him, you're going to be alone forever. The world is big and like life is long.
Well, I also just think that if she called in and said, I'm a senior in high school, I've been dating a boy since ninth grade, and we are soulmates, we have everything in common with each other, I would say, okay, well, if you feel that way, like, yeah, I'm sure you're right that he is a soulmate for you.
Right.
This is a person she has a crush on,
right,
who I'm sure she's been getting signs, and there are weird little coincidences, and I bet you're getting a lot of tarot readings on your For You page and like that feel really specific to him, you know?
Yeah.
I get it. Like, somebody told you his initials are going to come up at the end of this video, and what do you know? It was his initials. Oh my God. Like, I think that's what's happening here. You're not insane. We all have done this.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I'm saying that you very well could be correct in that this is a total, like, yes, it's a good match for you. I don't think you're totally delusional at all. What I'm saying is, I felt this way about many guys in high school, one or two. And I have, you know, and I really convinced myself that because of these weird little parallels in our lives and whatever, that we would be ideal.
Yeah, totally.
And it allowed me to build up a crush in my head that was all the more devastating when A, he didn't like me the same way back, because we just didn't know each other that well, and B, when he didn't end up being all those things that I had built him up in my head to be. So all I'm saying now is just be cautious of the way you seem to be building him up in your head.
Yep. No, that's really good advice.
If you were dating him, I'd say it's a different story, but you guys don't know each other that well.
Yeah.
So you really have constructed an idea of him, which is natural and fine and totally normal for your age. I do it sometimes too. I'm just saying, be careful.
Totally.
That being said, you want to know if he likes you? There's only one way to find out. You have to start hanging out with him. Like, it seems like you like him from afar. He doesn't know you that well. Have we gone up to him after class? Have we texted him? Have we come up with a little scheme? Like, hey, can you show me your homework during after school really quick and blah, 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 and we'll talk about it. And then boom, there you go.
And also, this maybe is a time, like, I would challenge, like, you asked, like, how to do this without being vulnerable. And I would just say, maybe be a little vulnerable, because also, like, if either it goes well and great, or you get rejected and then you learn how to deal with rejection, and that's also healthy.
But getting rejected in high school, when boys are very immature and not considerate of your feelings, and you see everybody every single day.
I know. No, I know.
Like, I'm just cautious. But if this were college, okay, I'd say go live, learn your lesson.
Sure.
Get rejected and learn. I feel like it's too early, and especially because you told yourself that this guy is your soulmate. What happens when not only does he reject you, but you're walking through the halls and you have to see him every single day, and he has fucking 17-year-old friends who don't understand sensitivity or empathy?
Sure.
That sucks. Like, I'm just a little scared. She's such a beautiful, sensitive soul.
Totally.
I don't want to put you in a situation where you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to be a little vulnerable. Everything you do is going to be vulnerable.
Yeah, but I think she's a little bit of like a raw nerve.
Yeah, she's a raw nerve. I think the first thing you should do is cover up the nerve a little bit. Kind of come back to reality. Get to know him through his friends or as a friend and realize that he is probably not as perfect as you think.
Sit down with yourself and maybe make a list of what are the actual facts and truths you know about him and what are the things you've constructed in your mind, and like parse those out. And really then go forward only with the things that are actually true, you know?
Amen. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. And then, just to answer all of her questions, she also asked, I don't think it matters who starts, the man or the woman in the initiating. That's
no.
Release that shit now. That's stupid.
Release it now. And it's great that you're having this like internal question now rather than later, because get it out of your system. It does not matter.
It doesn't matter.
In fact, hate to pull like the Cosmopolitan magazine card, but there's nothing hotter than a confident woman, blah blah blah. You're gonna read this throughout your life.
No, totally.
It is one of those little magazine truths that is absolutely true.
Yeah, that's why
guys love when you initiate. Like, they do. Yeah. They really do. And that doesn't mean chasing them like throwing rocks at their window, and it doesn't mean being super available every single night to them.
Right.
It means having a life, but being a person who's so cool and awesome and smart and beautiful like you are, who has their own life and was confident enough to go up to them and say, hey, do you want to have my number and text me later? And then get out of there. Like, that's it. That's all you got to do.
Totally.
You're overthinking it.
Gorge. You're so sweet, though. We adore you.
The cutest person in the world. I can't wait to get an update on this.
I know. Wait, that's...
I also can't wait for 3 years from now when she calls in and says, we lost touch. I don't know where he is now.
Also, reminder, we're wanting update calls. We're hoping to do an update roundup at the top of the new year or whatever. So
that would be great.
Like, give us your updates. Call in if you have follow-ups from previous calls. If we've played your call before and you have an update, call in and give us the update. We want literally any and all updates. Why is this not clicking? Can I actually go on a rant for a second? Because I'm fucking pissed off.
Yeah.
I, as you can see, my phone screen is cracked.
Oh my God. I didn't even notice that.
It's actually literally been cracked for like 3 months.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's fine. You can use an iPhone with a cracked phone. It's not an issue. I have AppleCare. I was like, I'm going to go get my
Jake and AppleCare do not.
Has anyone in their fucking lives walked into an Apple store and tried to use AppleCare and had it work? I'm sorry. I am never rude to customer service people. Mm-hmm. The ire I have given Apple employees. I'm sorry. This man, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. I go to this Apple store. I went to go buy wired headphones because in the travel of Christmas, I like somehow lost, or of Thanksgiving, I lost my wired headphones.
Sure.
$20. Fine. I'm going to go buy some more wired headphones. I was walking by the downtown Brooklyn Apple store. I was like, I'm just going to bop in and get some headphones. I go in, and when I was there, I was like, oh, also, my screen is cracked. Can I make an appointment to get it fixed later this week? And he was like, yeah, totally. And I picked up the time, and I was like, yeah, and I think I have AppleCare. And he's like, let me just double check that for you. And he goes, you don't have AppleCare on this device. And I go, no, I definitely do. I literally got a receipt in my email like 2 days ago for my AppleCare. Like, it's an auto-deduct payment, right? I pull it up. And he goes, that's AppleCare for your old phone.
Why would they not switch it to your new fucking phone?
And I go, you're telling me that since I've had this phone for like a year and a half. I go, you're telling me I've been paying AppleCare on a phone that doesn't exist anymore for a year and a half, and this phone doesn't have AppleCare. He goes, yeah, you have to manually change it over. I was like, you can rot in fucking hell with Steve Jobs. Like, I actually, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, okay, and how much is it going to cost to fix my screen? He's like, well, they really have to assess it, and it could be like, it could be $10. We could have to shoot your mother in front of you. Like, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it makes me, I'm like, I've never once in my life tried to use AppleCare and had it go well. It's actually unbelievable. Sorry, I know I'm literally sounding like an old person, like complaining about like phone interest.
It's very valid.
I walked out of the Apple store so fucking angry. Like, it's like, I can't, whatever.
I'm so sorry.
So my screen is cracked, and I couldn't click on the call, but now I'm clicking on the fucking call. Oh, it makes me so mad.
Hi. I love you guys. I'm going to keep this anonymous.
Can we just, when people say that, like, I'm going to keep this anonymous, we've never said anyone's name on this podcast.
Well, that, and we get the calls anonymously because we don't have caller ID on name on numbers we've never seen before. So we get it. It all gets sent into an email. There is no name in it unless you say, hi, my name is Emma, and I'm going to say this, in which case.
I guess that's true.
That's fine.
It's funny, but it's like, we're never going to out who these calls are from, just FYI.
Yeah, we're never. It's always going to be anonymous. Unless you specifically get on the call and say, I'm, you know, Jake Cornell, and I want you to hear this.
Unless you're a celebrity that listens to this podcast and we would know who you are, then call in because that's fun for us to find out.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
But otherwise, we're never going to reveal who you are.
Yeah. Roll the clip. I'm just getting something out of my eye.
Hi. I love you guys. I'm going to keep this anonymous. I love the show. I just want to say thank you guys for putting up this great podcast. I'm going to start off with, so I am a lead at my job, and I think this guy is really cute, but he is kind of like a regular, like, worker there, like, in the same department that I work in. We work at a grocery store. And so as a lead, like, I can't really go out with anyone that's like just what's it called, a regular worker, but I really think he's cute, but I kind of want to shoot my shot, but I don't know. I just wanted to get some advice. Should I just let it go, you know,
sticky.
Find love elsewhere, but but yeah, I hope
dare
you guys
I say,
answer my question.
In the world before Hinge, or just in the world outside of Hinge and Tinder and Bumble, this is how relationships started. And this is like little, and look, it's not like you're the CEO of a company and he's like working at the bottom of it. And that's the power dynamic here. It's like, I just don't feel like you work together every single day. You see each other every single day.
Right,
you're not,
I guess, well,
signing his checks, are you?
No, but she said that he's a regular worker, which I do think means he's technically like her subordinate.
Yes, but it's not like such a dynamic that it's like.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like.
That there's like, is it going to be like a huge HR issue?
I don't know.
Yeah,
this
we
is
don't
the
know.
Thing. Like, I don't know.
To me, it sounds like how people, like when you ask people how their parents met, like that's how they met. It's like, oh yeah, like he was technically my boss. Like, it's fine. It's like one of those little HR things that's like,
yeah,
no one's going to get like fired, I don't think.
Like, I think it's sticky because it's like technically it's wrong. Like technically.
Is it?
Like technically, because like, well, I don't know. It's like, how much of a prude are you a little bit? But it's like, there is technically a power imbalance. And some people would argue that when there's a power imbalance and like consent gets like muddied, you know what I mean? And like, I think
I guess
we maybe,
I understand,
and
but it
maybe
seems
lean
like a,
more towards that concern if it was the genders were flipped.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. But I also think it's important to consider that they seem like they're the same age.
Yeah.
They're working in roles where they see each other every single day, hands on. It's
right.
Not like one of them is like working for the other person who sits high up in an office and never sees them, but is signing their checks and then calling them up into their office and being like, all right, let's fuck. Like, it's not that kind of power dynamic. It's like,
totally.
You see each other every single day, except one of you has a higher title
right.
than
and
the
it's
other.
Like, are you, are either of you or are both of you like in this field to like climb the ladder of grocery store work and like become
perhaps,
like a CEO?
Perhaps, but like, I don't think that, that this is going to be
I know.
Something that's truly affects. Like, I really think that you're safe in having a little hookup.
If you guys are just flirting and you just wait until he makes the first move, then I think it's fine. Is this, are we gonna get in trouble for this? I actually don't know. No.
Sounds like you're consenting adult. It's not like one of you is 15 and the other
she's
one is 23.
Like, she calls back, she's like, by the way, he's 12.
No, I really, I'm just saying, I think it's
so
fine.
Awful.
I think it's one of those things, can I just say, I think it's one of those things where, have you ever looked back on problems or the little things that you did wrong in high school, things that you got in trouble for? And thought, oh my God, now that I'm out of that.
What was the biggest trouble you got in high school?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I'm thinking. I got in a lot more trouble in college. What did I do in high school?
Oh, I got in like no trouble in college. I got caught cheating in high school.
I got, you know what happened to me in eighth grade? I got pulled into my teacher's office for plagiarizing. And I remember it because I was so upset because I didn't plagiarize.
That happened to me in the sixth grade. I got accused. A paper was too good. And they said that
it was like too good.
Yeah.
I was so livid. Like, I couldn't even believe it. I had to prove that I had written it.
Same thing. That literally happened to me. And I remember, like, I think my paper was about, like, beavers. I was like, this is, like, so stupid.
You wrote about beavers?
I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
What do you know about that?
Enough. Enough. No, but that was
what kind of trouble did you get in high school?
Oh, I had to take, you had to take a computer class to pass to graduate my high school. And I took HTML coding.
Okay.
And in the last week of senior year, I was like, just didn't feel like writing out one of the codes. And so I remember I asked Brian Cole, I was like, can I have your code? And I'm just going to copy and paste it and change all the info. Mm. And I did, but I left his name in one of the things. So it like fully said Brian Cole in like one of the slots. So it was like very obvious I had copied him, and we both got in a lot of trouble.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to really change up those papers, folks.
I know.
Change them up. The worst is when you told a friend, oh yeah, you can kind of use my homework. Just change it up. And they didn't change it up enough.
Yeah.
And then you both got in trouble.
I also one time flopped so hard because I copied someone's math homework and I didn't understand their handwriting, and I wrote a 7 where they had actually been writing, it was like algebra and they were supposed to be Z's like for a variable. So the math teacher was like, this like literally makes no sense. Like, you clearly copied this and thought they were 7s. And I was like, T, like, honestly, yeah, yes. Like, that is what happened.
You
like,
caught me.
Yeah.
The biggest controversy I remember there being was, there was this teacher, you know who you are, cunt. I fucking hate you. But she was.
We talked about this. The teacher who hated you.
The teacher who hated me, exactly. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. And I had to like write her this strong email. Yeah. But I ended up winning that situation.
I know you did.
But I did get in trouble for like a couple days until I was proven correct. I loved being proven correct against the teacher. Regardless, there were times in high school where I was freaking out, where I was like totally nervous and convinced that like, I'm going to get in so much trouble, blah, blah, blah. And now I look back and I'm like, oh, that was so ridiculous because I'm far away from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that this is one of those situations where it's like, it feels like there's such authority looking over you and it feels like there's such high stakes, but it's really just sort of like, a rule that's in place. You might get a slap on the wrist. In a year, you're going to look back and be like, oh yeah, that was kind of funny how we kind of like did a little something wrong. I don't think that this is something that will get you fired. I think that it's smart to let him make the first move, but you can be very direct in wanting him to make the first move.
Yeah, and you can also say like, hey, like, are you comfortable with this? Like, I'm technically, I don't know.
Right, just make sure he's comfortable.
Or also go work at a different grocery store and then you aren't coworkers anymore. Isn't that?
I guess so. It seems like she worked her way up where she works. She likes it.
That's valid.
I don't want you to like lose your job, but I don't. I think that, as I said, you ask people how they met. This is how everybody's parents met. It's like you met in the workplace. Yeah. Maybe one of you was like a little bit above the other. It's one of those things that's like not a big deal in a couple months. Yeah, you know what I mean?
They met working at an Apex.
Oh, how cute is that? How'd your parents meet?
I think it was all just kind of like being in Cranston. Like, everyone knew each other. But like the most succinct way is like my mom was really good friends with my aunt Patty, who is my dad's sister.
Mm.
And my aunt and my mom's childhood best friend Lisa is married to my dad's brother Tom. So like my mom's friends dated my dad and his brothers.
Huge.
Kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
My parents met on Venice Beach.
I love that.
Yeah. Like two little drug doers.
Okay, well, this has been basic training.
I don't know what they were doing.
This has been basic training. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review if you haven't yet. The reviews are like growing and growing. We just want more of them. Please, it helps so much.
It helps a lot.
Call with your calls. Call with your follow-ups. The number is right here. It's 929-269-4960. We love you.
We love you a lot.
Bye.